Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us. We thank you that each and every one of us in this room, joining us online, that you had us in mind when you went to that cross. You had us in mind. Not the person next to us, but you had us in mind. Because you so loved us. You gave because you so loved us. We just want to say we're incredibly grateful for your love, for your sacrifice, for your victory. Jesus, we love you. And everybody said, amen, amen. You know that you are chosen by him to be his. You're chosen because he loves you so much. One thing I say to our kids, said to our girl yesterday, out of all 1.5 billion girls on the planet, I would choose you every single time because you're mine. You're my girl. And God says exactly the same of you. Out of all everyone in this world, I choose you. You're mine. You're unique to me. I love you. And we've got to know today, Easter isn't just a message for the whole world. It is, but it's for us personally. It's what Jesus has done in us. So Jesus, I just pray that you would awaken the wonder today of what you did for each and every one of us. That we wouldn't right now just go through the motions of church, thinking about what we're doing for lunch, but we would arrest our focus on you and everything you gave for us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You can take your seats. Thank you, team. You are amazing. Well, we are in this incredible celebration of Palm Sunday today, and I really feel stirred around this whole thought of awakening the wonder of Easter and everything Jesus did for us. Because again, it's not just, Easter isn't just something we celebrate because it's part of our religion as Christianity. It is something that Jesus wants us to come and remember him afresh. Remember everything he has done for us. Remember the sacrifice that he made. And Palm Sunday has been celebrated in the Christian calendar for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's about marking the start of Holy Week when Jesus rode into Jerusalem as king. And so we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning. All four Gospels talk about the significance of the triumphant entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, but we're going to turn to Luke today. Luke 19, verse 28 to 42, and it's entitled, Jesus Comes to Jerusalem as King. So we're going to start by verse 28, and it says, after Jesus had said this, and what he was talking about, just to give us a bit of context, is he's sharing a parable, trying to highlight to the people that his coming, his deliverance, is different to what they're expecting. And then he goes on, he says, he went ahead and went to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. And you know, this may sound unusual to us in today's context, but just to give us a little bit of context of the day, an animal could be taken possession of for any royal purpose, any special purpose. So Jesus is saying here, I'm taking it for royal purpose. This was the moment the disciples had been waiting for, where Jesus was proclaiming himself as king. He was very deliberate about this. Nowhere else in any of the Gospels do we see Jesus traveling in any other way than by foot. This is the only time. So he's making a deliberate statement here that I am coming in as king. And so they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And again, putting the coat on the donkey was a sign of royalty. The disciples were pumped. This was their moment. And then it goes on to say, as they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Again, this was a sign of honor. The crowd acknowledging that Jesus was king. In other versions, it says the crowd also laid down palm branches. Palm branches were a sign of victory. 100 years earlier, Israel had gained independence through a man named Judas Maccabees, who overthrew the Syrian oppression and established worship in the temple once again. And he adopted the palm branch as a sign of victory. He put the palm branch on their coins as a sign to say, hey, Israel has victory. So when the people are putting the palm branches down, they're declaring victory. Here comes our king. Victory is his. Here comes our God. We're free from oppression. Victory is his. And so when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So the city was full of travelers for Passover. They'd come to Jerusalem to celebrate. So these people had seen the miracles of Jesus all through Israel. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Now we've got to understand again the significance. I know there's a lot in this. There's so much in the Word of God, so much in Scripture. It's not just, hey, let's celebrate Jesus. There was so much significance to this moment. But that statement comes from Psalm 118, and that psalm prophesies Jesus coming as Messiah. It prophesies him coming as the deliverer of Israel. And so he is deliberately stating here, I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. Again, in other versions, the crowd shouts, Hosanna. And this word Hosanna means save us now. So the people were crying out to Jesus, save us now. It was a declaration of praise, declaring the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. And then it goes on, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. I love Jesus' reply. He says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Jesus is saying, this is my moment. This is my moment to be honored. This is my moment to be praised. Because if people won't declare it, creation will declare it. It's the moment the entire world has been waiting for, he's saying here. This is such a significant moment that it's not just about the people of Israel. No, it's all of creation has been waiting for this moment to come. And then verse 41 says, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. See, the king they were expecting was the king that was going to deliver them from Roman oppression. The king that was going to deliver Israel from the state that they found themselves in. But here Jesus is proclaiming, I'm so much more than just that king. I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. I've come to save your soul. See, I think the picture that sums it up so beautifully is that Jesus came riding in on a donkey. If he was coming in riding on a horse, that statement was declaring that he was coming in for war. Horses were used to represent battle, war. But no, Jesus came riding in on a donkey. A donkey represented peace. So here Jesus is declaring, I'm the king coming for peace. I'm going to give you peace that you even knew that I could give you. I'm coming to give you peace that is eternal, peace that is everlasting, peace for your souls, peace from death, peace from the ravishings of what you think you're just bound in forever. No, I'm come to give you peace. And like Pastor Keenan said before, the prophet Zechariah prophesied it 500 years earlier. And it says this in Zechariah 9, verse 9 to 11. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Hey, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Israel, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. How awesome is he? He's declaring, my peace is from generation to generation. My peace is not just for Israel. No, it's for the entire world. The peace that I'm bringing isn't just for a lifetime. No, it's peace that's for eternity. He came as the king that they never saw coming because he was so much greater, so much more magnificent, so much more than they ever thought they could see in a man. See, while earthly kings can possibly bring peace in a moment, he was bringing us peace for eternity. While earthly kings are served, he came to serve. While earthly kings receive ransoms, he came to pay the ransom. While earthly kings know limited power, he was the king of unlimited power. While earthly kings knew the death, the power of death, he is the king who broke the power of death. While earthly kings know the reality of sickness, disease, and illness, he's the king who brought us healing, whose name is above all names, whose name is above all pain or cancer or disease. He is the name that is above all names. While earthly kings live separated from the people, he is the king who is with the people. While earthly kings know a temporary kingdom, he is the king of an eternal kingdom. That is our King Jesus. That is the God that we serve. How amazing is he? But see, Jesus knew what his mission as being king meant. He knew it wasn't just to be honored, wasn't just to be celebrated. See, if we fast track through Holy Week, Jesus is being crucified. He is the king that went to the cross for us. Every criminal that was executed had a sign above their head saying the crime that they were executed for. And our Jesus, the only crime that he had was that he was Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. It was written in three different languages, in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Latin, so that everyone would understand what was being said. The Jewish leaders tried to have it changed to say that he claimed to be king of the Jews, but Pilate said, no, what I have written, I have written. And it was a statement saying that he was the king that came to die for us. There was no sin that he had whatsoever, but he took our sin upon himself so that we would know life and life in its fullness. What God we serve. How amazing is he? And I'm going to try and keep it together because I think for me this week, the revelation of what he's done for me has just hit home afresh so much. And I pray today it would hit home in every single one of us. See, when Jesus was dying, in Mark 15, verse 33 to 34, it says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? A statement that was so powerful that it was never translated into English for us. It's still kept. It's Arabic. Translation. And anyone that heard Jesus say that statement would have been reminded of Psalm 22. In the first part of that psalm, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that whole psalm prophesies the agony of the death that Jesus would walk through. Jesus knew the psalm well. He knew the word of God well. And the psalm speaks about every part of his execution, about how his bones would be all out of joint, how his heart would be melted as wax as he was separated from his father, as he carried the weight of our sin, how the soldiers pierced his hands and feet to make sure he stayed on the cross, how the soldiers divided his clothes and cast lots for his garments. The psalm prophesies it all. But in verse 6 it says this statement, but I am a worm not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. And why would the psalmist be saying, I am a worm, not a man? And why would Jesus be relating to that? And if we look into it, there's such hidden treasure in this statement. The Word of God is incredible. Jewish scholars call this a remes, which is a hidden treasure. And when that word worm is translated from Hebrew, it's not just a common word for worm. It is the word called tola, which means a scarlet or crimson worm. And this is where we find the hidden meaning that Jesus was referring to. And this, when this crimson worm is ready to lay her eggs, which happens only once in her lifetime, she climbs up a tree, I'm going to have some of the pictures behind me, and attaches herself to the tree. When her body is attached, a hardened shell forms that is crimson in color and brings protection while the worm lays her eggs. When the eggs hatch, the babies then feed off the living body of the mother for 3 days. After 3 days, the mother worm dies, and when she dies, she excretes a crimson dye that stains her baby worms forever. They are born translucent, but because of the death of the mother, they are marked crimson for their entire lives. What a picture that is of what Jesus did for us. He is saying on that cross, I am Tola. I am a worm. I am the king of the universe. I'm the one that holds creation in my hands. I came as a worm for you. I attached myself to the cross willingly so that you could be made alive. I am the worm that gave up my life. Because of my death, the shedding of my blood, you are marked by my blood. We were born translucent, born into sin, born into shame, born into mistakes. But because of his sacrifice, we are instead marked by the blood of Jesus. We are marked for redemption. We are marked for forgiveness. We are marked as his children forever. Nobody, nothing can take that away from us. No accusation from the enemy, no mistake we have ever made. When we come to him and say, Jesus, I am yours, he marks us with the blood of Jesus. We are marked forever as his sons and his daughters, marked because he loves us so much. Ephesians 1 verse 7, the Message version puts it like this, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And we're not just barely free either, we are abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such great delight in making. In that statement, just there, he delighted in making these plans because he knew it would set us free. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Because of his sacrifice, you are marked as forgiven. You are marked as his, simply because we choose to trust him. We choose to be his. And he marks us with his love. He marks us with his protection. He marks us as children of God. We are marked for personal relationship with him. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, and now at this very moment in Christ Jesus, you were once who were so very far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We are marked for proximity with him, marked for close relationship with him. Marked to know him personally as our God. Marked to walk life with him, knowing his presence, knowing his peace, knowing his love, knowing his freedom. We are marked for relationship with him because we get to be his children. You know, the term blood relative is a term that's used to show how closely someone is connected to their family. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have that kind of proximity. We are marked by his blood. This morning I asked a few of our team to actually send some testimonies of how Jesus has saved them, what he's done in their world, and an incredible woman said this to me. Before knowing Jesus, I was very timid and forever anxious. I lived inside my own head and didn't really engage with others at all. My anxiety was almost overwhelming, but no one knew it because I never told anyone. I never revealed my true thoughts or feelings, and I didn't believe I had any value. I knew about Jesus through Bible stories I read over and over again. At church, I'd always talk about him. But all those years, I didn't realize that he, the God of the universe, wanted to have a relationship with me. I heard the truth about Jesus at a youth rally, and my body and heart responded to the truth of the message before my brain could comprehend it. When the altar call came, before I knew it, I'd rush to the front of the altar. With my journey with God since then, it's been the one of uncovering the truth of his love for me, the truth that Jesus died for me, the truth of my value and my worth in him. And as the truth was uncovered, I learned to believe it and walk in it. Now I know that God loves me. The anxiety has completely gone. I reveal my true self to others, knowing the blessing of being known. I have great joy in walking alongside others now, helping them to uncover the truth of God's unending love for us. How beautiful is that? You are marked by him. You are his child. You are his. And because we are his, we get to know his heritage that he won for us. He didn't just come to die, but he rose victorious on that cross, which meant that we get to walk in his freedom. We get to walk in his truth and the inheritance that he won for us because we are his family. So we inherit peace. We inherit his protection. We inherit his victory. Again, this is another testimony that one of the team sent me. As a young child of 4 years of age, I experienced a terrible, repetitive nightmare night after night. I saw a man who would choke me until I couldn't speak or breathe. I was terrified to go to sleep. My nana visited me one day and told me to call on the name of Jesus next time this happened. The very same night it happened again, and as his hands tightened on my throat, I managed to whisper a small choke, "Jesus, help." That nightmarish man fled and never returned. And I knew from that day that Jesus was king over all and would always protect me. What a gift we have in Jesus. That whatever we are facing, he gives victory to us. That there is nothing we need to fear, nothing we need to be weighed down on because of the victory that he won for us. I remember as a little 10-year-old girl going to sleep, having bad dreams, nightmares. Dad said to me, "Honey, all you need to do is claim the blood of Jesus over you as you go to sleep." I never had a bad dream since that point. The blood of Jesus covers us. The blood of Jesus marks us. The blood of Jesus sets us apart for victory, knowing that when we're in proximity with the King, we have his victory that we walk in. How amazing is our God? What a gift we have in Jesus. You know, I think our challenge today is, do we walk in the wonder of that gift? Do we walk knowing the fullness of what he has won for us? See, in the crowd of Palm Sunday, there were many that praised the man of Jesus. There were many that praised the incredible things that he had done, the miracles that he had done. But there were few that were praising him for the God that he was, the Son of Man coming to save the world. They didn't have the understanding. And I pray today, my prayer is that we would be awakened from not just seeing Jesus as our Savior, not just seeing Jesus as our friend, but seeing him as our God, as our Lord, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings, the one that holds the universe in his hands, that we would be awoken again to just how incredible our God is. See, have we become flippant with our God, or do we have a healthy fear and respect for him? Knowing what he's won for us, knowing the God that he is. See, the criminals on the cross, there were two criminals that were crucified with Jesus. One of them echoed the words of so many around Jesus that day, taunting Jesus, insulting him. "Man, if you're God, why don't you come down from that cross and save yourself? If you're God, save me as well. Come on, Jesus, you did all these miracles. You can't even save yourself." And the crowd were taunting him, mocking him, saying, "Hey, prove yourself, God." How similar does that sound to the world we live in today? "Hey, God, if you're good, why does all these evil things happen? Prove yourself, God. Man, God, if you're real, why does that happen? Prove yourself, God. God, if you're real, why don't you do this for me? Prove yourself to me, God. And there's this sense of we want God to fit into our box. We want God to follow our agenda. We want God to follow our plans. But he's not that type of God. No, he's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. We follow him. He doesn't follow us. We fit into his plans. He doesn't fit into our plans. He is the sovereign king. He is the one that defeated all death, that through his victory, our victory is ours. But it's because he is king, because he is Lord. See, there was another criminal that was on the cross that day, and that criminal said to the other criminal that was mocking Jesus, "Do you have no fear of God? Do you not realize who has been crucified with us?" And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, would you remember me today in paradise?" And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." I wonder what our response is. Do we live with that healthy fear, that healthy honor, that Jesus, you are King. Jesus, you are Lord. And Jesus, you have my devotion. See, I think our devotion to him reflects our wonder of him. Jesus said in Scripture, if you don't lay down your life for me, if you don't pick up your cross for me, you're not worthy of me. He's saying here, guys, everything I've given for you, everything I am, it's worthy of everything you are. It's worthy of all your devotion. He's worthy of everything. He's worthy of our complete heart, all our soul, our strength, our might. He's worthy of it all because of who he is. I love this story. Again, another one of our team who sent this in. He said, Jesus saved me, but it was quite unique. It was when I was 18 and I couldn't sleep. I kept stirring. I woke up around 3 a.m. and had an urgency to read my Bible given to me at school from many years earlier. I grew up in a Christian household but never had a relationship with Jesus, never read my Bible, so it was a very unique experience. And I was never the one to wake up at 3 a.m. So when I did, I picked up the Bible and flipped to Job 33, verse 14 to 18. And it put the fear of God into me in the best way possible. And I got into church after that, and the rest is history. But this passage says, if God does speak now one way and now another, though no one perceives it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings and turn them with wrongdoing and keep them from pride to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. We are saved from death. Jesus isn't just our friend, the one that comforts us, the one that we turn to when we need him. No, he's the God who saved us from death. Every single one of us, we are saved from death. And eternity in hell, we are saved from because of his sacrifice. And as the team joins me, my prayer today is as we worship him, as we have this moment of reflection, remembering everything that Jesus has done for you and for me, I pray that again we would awaken to the wonder of just what he has done. I'm just going to read a few other passages that the team sent me of how Jesus saved them. So Jesus saved me from emptiness, from dissatisfaction in the world. Before Jesus, I was searching for hope and meaning in life, questioning our greater purpose, whether there was something more than striving for accolades and the approval of others. Through his grace, forgiveness, and love, I now know all hope is in him and his resurrection, the promise of eternity and the life to come. Someone else saying, Jesus saved me from eternal death, brought me life and the promise of life in abundance. His peace and joy rule in my life instead of fear and sadness. He is the giver of hope. Someone else saying, divorce was on the cards, newly married with a child, no hope, no future, full of emptiness. I was angry at myself. I did not see this all coming. Confused, I questioned my identity, my worth. Then I met Jesus. I never read the Bible, but once I started, I couldn't stop. Jesus didn't just save me. He saved my husband. He saved our marriage. Someone else saying, from the moment I heard about how Jesus rescues those who are broken and hurting, I was all in. I was a teenager just living one day at a time, not counting on there being a tomorrow, ready to end my life at any given moment. I found myself at a youth group at 17. My life was completely changed. Jesus saved me from suicide. He saved me from alcoholism. He saved me from not feeling like I belonged anywhere on this earth, and he gave me a place to call home. I'm forever grateful to my King Jesus who rescued me. He healed me from worthlessness. He gave me joy from depression. He unlocked me from OCD. He filled me with himself from pure love and gave me peace and stability. He's met me at every single crossroads. He's never ever abandoned me. He answers every prayer and fills me with hope in the waiting. He gave me the desire to live again. Jesus saved me from my bunk bed when I was 5 years old. He's been saving me every day since, from family brokenness, from unhealthy relationships, from selfish desires, from an eating disorder, so many other things. Time and time again, he's rescued me, he's redeemed me, he's brought beauty from ashes. That is the God that we serve. That is our King Jesus. How incredible is he? Jesus, in this moment, I pray that we would remember everything you've done for us. Jesus, we would be awoken to the wonder again of what you did on that cross for us. What you did so that we may know life. What you did so that we would know freedom. What you did so that we would know peace. Jesus, we are forever grateful. We love you in Jesus' name.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.